Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time, dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for Her Story number 37 is author, art historian, and public speaker Lucinda Hawksley. Lucinda's work focuses on literature and art from the 19th and early 20th centuries and the history of London. She has written or co-written over 20 nonfiction books, including Lizzie Siddall, The Tragedy of a Pre-Raphaelite Supermodel, Essential Pre-Raphaelites, When Art Really Works, and 50 British Artists You Should Know. She has just finished a biography of the 19th century sculptor Princess Louise, which is being published by Chateau in January 2014. Lucinda's work also includes writing about her own family, as a great-great-great-granddaughter of Charles and Catherine Dickens. She's grown up with an interest in her family history and has published two books on her family members, including a biography of Charles Dickens and a biography of his artist daughter, Katie Perugini. Lucinda's appeared in several documentaries and programs on TV and radio talking about the Dickens family, art history, and the history of London. And last but certainly not least, she is an award-winning travel writer and an avid environmentalist, and she's a volunteer speaker for the Whales and Dolphins Conservation Society. To learn more about Lucinda and her work, you can visit her website, lucindahawksley.com, and you can follow her on Twitter, at Lucinda Hawksley. And I'll spell her last name. It's H-A-W-K-S-L-E-Y. Lucinda, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
And which woman are you going to share with us today?
I've chosen to share with you the story of Kate Perugini, who was one of Charles Dickens' daughters. She was my great-great-great-aunt, but she was also a professional artist, which is why I first became interested in her.
Well, please share with us all a little bit about Kate Perugini.
Kate Perugini, or Katie Dickens, as she was when she was born in 1839, and this was the year in which her father had published Nicholas Nickleby, by which point he was a household name. So right from the beginning of her life, her father was an incredible celebrity. She grew up in a very famous house. She was constantly surrounded by fascinating, interesting people. And from a very young age, it was realized that she was a very good artist. Now, all Victorian girls were expected to be able to paint prettily and to produce nice works of art. But Charles and Catherine Dickens were quite exceptional for parents of that time because they realized that she needed further education outside the home. And they sent her to a college that had just been set up in London. Luckily, it was very close to their family home, so Katie could walk there very easily. But she went at the age of 13. And this was Bedford College, which was set up by a really interesting woman called Elizabeth Jessa Reed, who was a prominent anti-slavery campaigner and an advocate of women's rights and women's education. And she set up Bedford College as the very first college in Britain to educate women to university standard. Obviously, women at the time still couldn't take a degree, but they could study right up to degree level and do all the work, just not get a degree at the end. So Katie went there from the age of 13, and she did become a professional artist. Her very first husband was a chap called Charles Alston Collins, whose name might sound familiar to lovers of Pre-Raphaelite art. At the very beginning of the Pre-Raphaelite movement, he was an important figure. Lovers of literature might recognize his name as being the younger brother of Wilkie Collins, who was one of Charles Dickens's great friends. Katie and Charlie Collins got married in 1860. It wasn't a love match. They were very good friends, but Katie really married him to escape the family home because a couple of years previously, her father and mother had separated, which was highly unusual at the time. And she knew that her father was in love with a young woman, an actress called Ellen Ternan, who very upsettingly was the same age as Katie herself. So Katie married Charlie Collins, fellow artist, and she hoped that she would be able to bring her art to the next level and start to make money as an artist. Unfortunately, shortly after they got married, Charlie decided that he didn't want to continue with art and he wanted to become a writer. He wasn't nearly as good a writer as he was an artist, so it was a great pity for art history. But through her marriage to him, Katie came to know lots of other artists, including one of Charlie's best friends, who was Millais, John Everett Millais, the great Pre-Raphaelite artist, one of the founders of the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood. And Millais and Katie would remain very good friends throughout their lives. Katie also had an affair during her first marriage. Charlie Collins was almost certainly gay, almost certainly impotent, and the marriage was never consummated. And Katie found comfort with Valentine Prinsep, who was a very important Pre-Raphaelite artist, great friends with Lord Leighton, Frederick Leighton, who had been his teacher, and again met a whole other world of artists through Leighton, Prinsep, Millais, and Charlie Collins. So she was working very much in that artistic London world. When Charlie Collins died of cancer, stomach cancer, Katie nursed him very tenderly for the last years of his life. By this point, she was a young woman in her 30s, and as well as her affair with Valentine Prinsep, she had attracted a great many other admirers. And she also then fell in love properly for the first time. And this was with an Italian artist called Carlo Perugini, who was born in Naples but grew up almost his entire life in England and worked in the same circles as Lord Leighton, as Valentine Prinsep, and as Katie herself would do. And during this second marriage, Katie's art really blossomed. She became very widely known. She became a very prominent portrait painter, mainly of children, though not exclusively. And her work was often compared to that of Millais himself. She knew absolutely everybody who was everybody in the world of art and literature. One of her best friends was William Thackeray's daughter, Annie Thackeray, who was herself a novelist. And Katie lived an extraordinarily interesting life. As I say, she was born in 1839. She didn't die until 1929. A phenomenally long life, living through the most incredibly rich and at times very frightening era in British history. She died just 4 months before her 90th birthday. She's someone who I think deserves to be rediscovered. And when I wrote her biography, I was struck by what an incredible woman she was, how she really pushed the boundaries of Victorian womanhood. And she lived her life in the way that she wanted to live it. She was a truly fascinating woman. She did have one child, a son, who very sadly died in infancy, born during her second marriage. And this almost spurred her on to create greater art. And I think it's no coincidence that shortly after her child's death, she began to be taken really seriously by galleries, including the Royal Academy in London. She was an astonishing woman. I wrote her biography in 2006, and I'm very pleased that I've just had the chance to update that biography, and it's coming out with Globe Pequot in America next year, 2013. And if anybody's wanting to find out more about her, they should look up online and know that her name is spelt K-A-T-E-Y, not the normal way of spelling Katie, which I think is indicative of her personality being so different from all the other Katies out there.
And what do you find to be so inspirational about Katie?
Katie has inspired me because I first came to know her, as it were, as a child, through a painting that used to be in the family. It no longer is. A painting of her by John Everett Millais. And even as a little girl, I was very aware how unusual this painting was, because she's painted from behind, looking over one shoulder. So you're looking at her back. Through that, I began to get an interest in family history in general, because my father explained to me who she was, that she was Charles Dickens's daughter, and that she was my great-great-great aunt. And when I began looking into her life, it really came about through the course of my other studies in art history. When I was doing my master's degree, her name just kept appearing. I hadn't realized until that point what an important artist she was, because she's been largely forgotten through history, purely through dint of being female. The male colleagues who she worked with and knew so well, many of whose art was not as good or as prolific as hers, are still remembered, and Katie isn't. I think the other reason is perhaps with an Italian surname, people in Britain think that she's an Italian artist and she has no connection to them. I think if she'd painted under her maiden name, perhaps people would remember her. But she's just inspired me to look into my own family history. And through writing her biography, I became very interested in Charles Dickens on a totally different level from how I'd ever looked at him before, which was always as a literature student. And suddenly I was looking at him as a father and as a very, very interesting father, very hands-on and very loving and quite different from the kind of traditional Victorian father we think about. She's also inspired me because she was an extremely strong woman, and she was a woman who really took on the challenges of the era in which she lived, and she really made her life something fascinating.
Lucinda, for you as a family member of the Dickens, when you're writing their biographies, what kind of lens do you use to view them? Or since you are an academic but also a family member, how do you think that affects you when you're writing their biographies?
It is very interesting because I write biography in general. So I've written several biographies of people who I'm not related to. So I can really see the difference between the two. Whenever you're writing biography, be you related to them or not, you become quite obsessed with that person. I think it would be impossible to write a biography about someone who didn't fascinate you. And so when you're writing that biography, you start to feel very much, such as with the biography of Lizzie Siddle, as if they're your best friend. You feel incredibly protective. And there comes a point when you're absolutely sick of them. They're driving you mad. But then by the end of writing it, you're really feeling so close to them. So when you're writing about a family member as well, it's an even more overwhelming feeling. And I've loved the chance, for example, to update the Katie book with the information I've found since, a lot of which has been emailed to me by people who've said, oh, since reading your book, I've discovered a painting that I now realize is by her because I recognize the monogram. And I was so pleased to get the chance to update it because I felt so incredibly close to her because of being blood related. And I can't explain exactly what it is, though I'm sure anybody who's done any genealogy or who has discovered a family grave, for example, even many, you know, hundreds of years back, you have this visceral connection to them. And it's hard to explain it in any way except to say that you feel this incredible connection with them. I also think that a lot of family traits do come down through the generations. And when I'm writing about Katie or about Dickens himself, I can recognize a lot of personality traits, perhaps in myself or other family members. And that's really fascinating.
Well, what else can you tell us about the book and when it's coming out so that people can start learning more about Katie?
Well, the book is coming out with Globe Pequot Publishers, who are based in Connecticut. It's going to be available all over the States and, in fact, all over the world. It's called Katie, K-A-T-E-Y, and it should be on a bookshelf near you or on a website near you in summer of 2013.
Well, there you have it for Kate Perugini. Lucinda, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you very much.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.